And the first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take sword up against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Earlier this week, I talked at length about the state of the world with a man who you might describe of ripe old age. Even though he has seen a lot in the course of his life, he was still quite shocked at current affairs, the wars and rumours of wars, the disasters, the social division and economic gloom. Then there was the technology that was taking over and was making his head spin, all the time making life between real people apparently more difficult often. Well, that's not really where we expected to be at this time, 75 years, 50 years, or 25 years ago or so. In those years, we had quite different visions of the future. After the horrors of the Second World War, many believed humanity could build a new international order, that the United Nations would maintain peace and bring equitable development to the world. Well, the Cold War followed that, and actual wars were fought and are still being fought throughout the world. And development around the world has been anything but equitable. In the 1970s, things seemed more threatening. The peace movement used words from our Isaiah reading, swords into plowshares, to promote a world that would not be invested in war. For them, there was a choice, Either we continue on the way of war and face the elimination of human life on earth, or we learn to live in peace. Well, so far, neither of those outcomes has happened. Humans are still around, but we are still threatened by constant elimination, still rocked by constant war and conflict. And then in the 1990s, after the Cold War, hopes for world peace were quite high. The American political scientist Francis Fukuyama wrote the book The End of History. In that book, he argued that with the ascendancy of Western liberal democracy, humanity had reached not just the passing of a particular period of post-war history, but the end of history as such. That is the end point of mankind's ideological evolution and the universalization of Western liberal democracy as the final form of human government. He saw the Western liberal democracy as the perfect form of government in which people could live a benign pursuit of happiness with absence of any serious conflict. By establishing institutions and markets that transcended traditional power politics, the world would become a more settled, predictable, and peaceful place. Well, Francis Fukuyama now admits that there are some obstacles to that vision and that Western liberal democracy cannot just advance, but can also deteriorate and has indeed done so. And so our dreams of progress to a near-perfect world have been dashed again. It seems as humans we cannot achieve that state of a just and peaceful world. Past and present injustices, ambitions, ideologies, fears, entitlements, and disappointed expectations, as well as the human tendency for conflict and natural and man-made disasters, they all combine to destabilize any systems we have made. And even apparently stable systems are often soon exposed as oppressive regimes rather than freedom. So do we just bury our hopes for peace and goodwill among humans? Well, the Bible clearly does not do that. Our reading from Isaiah says that the peoples will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. That is because they will come to the Lord, the God of Jacob, where they will be taught God's law. This is a vision of peace and unity through God. But when we read the text, it's not immediately clear whether this vision of peace relates to an imminent time of tranquility or to a more distant future, even the end of times. But there's a hint in the following verses because they allude to the day of the Lord. And in the prophets, this day of the Lord often relates to the presence of God in glory, when in judgment and mercy God comes to renew the earth. It seems that Jesus was also talking about the end of the age when he spoke about the wars and rumors of wars that would precede it. Well, actually, the destruction of the temple largely happened a few decades after Jesus' death and resurrection, but God's coming in glory to which Jesus pointed is still to come. It is indeed the end of the age. Jesus warned his followers that it would be some time yet and that they should not be overly alarmed at what's happening in the world now or in future times. All these difficulties, he said, are like birth pangs for that glorious new day. The powers of evil may want to cause destruction, even though they themselves have already been defeated. So taken together, these and other readings point to continuing human disappointment here and now. They indicate that peace will never be achieved in this age, but that such the peace will only become full reality at the end of this age, when the earth will be renewed. That is the Advent hope, as it has been confessed by the Church for centuries. that in darkness we look forward to the light of Jesus coming. Throughout the ages, Christians have prayed, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. They have expressed their longing for God's peace, their longing for God's judgment, their longing for God's mercy, and their longing for God's presence. This sense of longing and hope for salvation is maybe not that prominent among Christians today, except among those who, against the warning of Jesus, point to this or that definite sign of Jesus' immediate return. But this Advent hope has been the church's longing throughout the years. So does this mean we transfer all hopes of peace to another age when the kingdom of God will break in with power? No, not all hope. Yes, only then will the kingdom of God be present in its fullness and bring full peace. But through Jesus, this kingdom already breaks into our world today, bringing peace, love, and forgiveness. We are each invited to be little satellites, so to say, of that kingdom here and now. Just as lights shine in the darkness, we can shine with the light of heaven. As we reflect God's love and forgiveness in our own lives, we can bring some of God's goodness into the world. That also includes working for peace, even peace between groups and between nations. And just as the light of many small sources combines to a brighter whole, so the church as a whole can be the combined light in the world. No doubt there are some lights that shine a bit brighter than others, and there may even be some flickering lights that make the overall effect of the church less consistent, but I pray that this light of the church is there nonetheless. And together, that light is brighter than any individual lights. For in the church, the word of God is preached and the sacraments are celebrated. This can only happen when people come together. But word and sacrament give light that goes beyond the light of any individual people. For through them, God in Christ is present with us. Even if our own lights are dim, the truth is proclaimed when the words of the Bible are proclaimed, and we have signs of God's presence and the world renewed. Well, today we will have a baptism. At the end of that baptism, a candle will be presented to the baptized with the words, "Walk in the faith of Christ crucified and risen, shine with the light of Christ." This is an indication of the role that we Christians as followers of Jesus have here on earth. It's our joy and our duty to already shine with the light of Christ, to bring faith, hope, and love into the world. Then the miseries of this world will not overwhelm us. The wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines and earthquakes will not have the last say. But rather our loving service in the face of these disasters will bring hope. Well, today we're lighting quite a few candles. We lit the Advent candle and we will light the candle for baptism. So as we light those candles, let us not forget the hope of God's peace and also our own responsibility as those who are called to let the light of God shine. And I'll conclude with words by singer-songwriter Michael Card. The light we must bear is the light we must share, is the light that illumines the darkness. The promises kept give us strength to accept this burden of bearing the light.